Live from the Palais Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another week and a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Kevin Wall on the other side of the glass, producing this extravaganza all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Hickey's being really bougie this week. He has taken a vacation, which he's allowed to do. I'm not going to vacation shame him on the show, but he went to a very opulent and bougie place, which is very ironic to me because he always bitches about how he needs to be paid more. And then I asked him where he was going, and the response, which I will keep to myself because I don't want all the masses to go running over and ruin Hot Take Hickey's vacation and start shaming him for being on vacation. If you did hear, though, where he's going, you'd be like, I didn't know Hickey was in that bracket. Neither did I, but must be good to be Hot Take Hickey. Whole lot to do today. Dean Thomas going to join us, the former UFC fighter, coming up 20 minutes from now. We'll recap all the great fights, which was a tremendous card out in Las Vegas from Saturday night. We'll be joined by J.P. Crawford, Mariner shortstop. All-Star Game is out in Seattle. You have the Home Run Derby tonight. Julio Rodriguez, J.P.'s teammate, will be participating in that as that comes your way at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we'll talk about the Mariners' second half of the season. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, Deebo Samuel from the San Francisco 49ers is going to stop by. Had a monster season 2 years ago, then regressed in a big way last year. But the 49ers always in the thick of things, and they're trying to get over that hump and bring a Lombardi trophy back to Santa Clara, San Francisco. That area, as they're called, the San Francisco 49ers, but the stadium is in Santa Clara. It's probably going too much into detail, but we'll chat things up with Deebo Samuel later on in hour number three. All righty, let's start the show off with someone that we're going to be talking a lot about this year, and it's good for the NBA. Like, you have the All-Star Game tonight in Major League Baseball. There's not a lot of times on this show where we're talking about Major League Baseball regular season, but you're starting to see some stars really take over the sport, which is enormous. And this is in a year where Aaron Judge has basically been a non-factor with him being out for the last month. You know, when he's on the diamond, how lethal Aaron Judge could be, and he's been an MVP for years with the Yankees, and you see where the Yankees are without him in the lineup. There's no one that you really are threatened by. But you look at Major League Baseball in the last month, I would say, ever since you got Ellie De La Cruz up for 30 games, he's been sensational. He gives you a reason to want to tune in to Major League Baseball's regular season. And what he did over the weekend, where he gets a base hit and then on two pitches steals second and then steals third and home, is so exciting and makes you want to watch whenever Ellie De La Cruz is playing, which is a ton for the Cincinnati Reds. You look at Shohei Ohtani, it's been this way for the last few years. Ohtani has been the biggest name in the sport. He's been the best player on the planet. He's elite on the mound and at the plate, and you want to tune in to go watch Shohei Ohtani. And that's important for Major League Baseball fans to want to tune in during the regular season and for the sport. And for years, right, it's how can we increase the pace of play? Don't get me wrong, the pitch clock and the implementation of the pitch clock is very important, and it's enjoyable. And it gets you the bullpen quicker in terms of when your starters are on the mound, the game time just goes by so much quicker with that pitch clock. And then you have changes where relievers coming in and it slows it down a bit. But that has made it a more enjoyable regular season product. But really, the stars are what get people in the stands and to the television sets. And the same could be said with the NBA. Now, the problem the NBA has is the regular season is kind of very pedestrian because a lot of these players don't participate as much as you would like them to in the regular season, and there's an effort problem and also a load management problem. But for this year, heading into the NBA season, this is where we'll start the show. We talk about the stars, the newer stars like a Shohei Ohtani and Ellie De La Cruz. They make you want to tune in for Major League Baseball. In the NBA, there's not going to be a bigger, more covered storyline this year in the regular season than Victor Wembanyama. And you got a little taste of the Victor Wembanyama fever in the last 48, 72 hours with his two games in the Summer League. Now, the Spurs announced today they're going to shut down Victor Wembanyama. He's done for the rest of the Summer League. And I can't say I'm surprised by that, because I thought it was the right plan by the Spurs in a relevant Summer League to give a little taste. And that's what they did. And slowly acclimate him. And you have certain hurdles that you need to climb to get Victor Wembanyama at the level that you think he could produce at, when the Spurs are going to be methodical and the Spurs are going to be very careful in his rookie season. But the hype is so large, and I don't want to say it's like anything we've never seen, because the Zion Williamson hype was ridiculous. I remember he had Barack Obama at the Duke UNC game when he burst through his shoe, Zion Williamson. We all know what the hype was surrounding LeBron James. What makes Victor Wembanyama so neat is, I know everyone tries to pretend to be an expert in this business and tell you every single thing there is to know. No one's really a Victor Wembanyama expert right now, because the majority of us, if you're being honest and you're not just lying, we haven't really seen him play. So it was cool over the weekend to see him play a little bit. And on Friday night, he didn't play all that great. Only had 9 points, 8 rebounds, was 2 of 13 from the field. But the other day, and what ends up being his final Summer League game, because they're going to shut him down the rest of the way, he shows you what he could do with 27 points, 12 rebounds, and he was a very effective 9 of 14 from the field. So it was good to see a little bit of him. I don't think you have to go nuts and play him in every Summer League game, which the Spurs won't do. And I'll tell you, this probably won't be popular, but I said this last week when I was in on Maggie and Perloff, when you see the highlights of him. Anytime I see highlights, or anytime I got to see the 2 times he was playing in the Summer League, my only thought, and this also registered when I saw him in person right before the draft when he was here in New York City, and I was sitting 2 to 5 feet away from the guy, is that there's a lot of body there. Even though he's not thick, he's just so long, and he's like a toothpick. Like the biggest toothpick you've ever seen at 7'5", there's a lot of body there, and it's a skinny body that could get injured. And that's the only thing I could think of. And I know that sounds wrong, because I want to see Victor Wembanyama be a star. I want to see him take over the NBA, not just from a coverage standpoint where the hype is right now, but because he's going to be as good as advertised. And it may be impossible for him to be as good as advertised when you get people like Chris Broussard getting on FS1 and saying that even if he's Hakeem Olajuwon, or even if he's Kevin Durant, that would be a failure, that would be a disappointment. We're talking about guys that have won finals MVPs, NBA MVPs, world championships, and they're going to, well, one's already in the Hall of Fame, the other will be whenever he retires. And we're saying that would be a disappointment. But in a weird way, I kind of got what Chris was saying, even though I rolled my eyes and thought it was ridiculous. Because the way that people are talking about him right now is that he's going to be the way that we look at a Michael Jordan right now, or the way that we look at a LeBron James, one of the two greatest players of all time. And I don't think that's fair to put that on anyone, but life isn't fair. And sure, a lot of us would love to swap lives with Victor Wembanyama and know the money that you're going to get and see if you could handle the pressure and see if you could meet what those expectations are. But I'll tell you this, and I'm not a fan of the Summer League. I usually don't watch the Summer League, but the Victor Wembanyama factor and effect is real, where I'm so curious, what the heck is he actually on a basketball court? And I want to see him in some level of an NBA game that I was into these last 2 games when he was playing in the Summer League. So, yeah, part of me goes, it's a little disappointing that he's not going to play the rest of the Summer League. But the other part is, it is acknowledging that it is the right decision here by the San Antonio Spurs. And I probably would have thought, and now looking back at this, I do think it, and I do think this way, that if Wembanyama would have been out of this world in the first Summer League game, you know, maybe because there was a lot of people in Vegas and ticket sales and all that, maybe they would have played him regardless in that second game. But I do wonder if the Spurs, if he was just out of this world in the first game, would have just shut it down right there. And I know Pop just got that new contract extension and all that, but that was something that I did think maybe they would have just shut him down after one game, because the goal was to get him a little bit of a flavor of the NBA. But you look at some of the overreaction after the first game, and I know people are idiots on Twitter. That's why I call it a cesspool. But people actually saying, oh, this is why he's going to be great, or this is why he's going to be horrible. Like, what the heck are you doing? And you saw both of those takes after the first game you had, and that was right after all the Britney Spears stuff, which is one of the more overblown stories I've ever seen. And I get it. Maybe a lot of it was in a fun nature in some of the Victor Wembanyama ripping, with people going to the defense of Britney Spears. I'm talking about in terms of the way that people want to just go after him after his first game. But after his first game, you would have thought as if his career was over and he was a bum. But that's just the society that we live in. And then after he plays the second game, it's, oh, all hail Victor Wembanyama. He's going to be incredible. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to put their foot in their mouth when they discuss Victor Wembanyama this year. And they're going to look just like complete jackasses. Because what we're going to do in the NBA is something that you can't do. And what I mean by this is, what we're going to do this year in the NBA is we're going to treat it like it's the NFL, where everything is live and die. Everyone's career's made game by game, because every game matters. In the NBA, every game doesn't matter. Heck, the players even tell you that. And you had to have the commissioner, Adam Silver, say, if you want to go win an award, you got to play at least 65 regular season games, with how many times players miss games. But what we're going to do with Victor Wembanyama is every game, at least it feels this way right now, maybe it changes and it probably will, is going to be, this means he's great and he's on his way to the Hall of Fame, or this means he's going to be one of the biggest busts in the NBA. And I hope he ends up meeting the hype, but just getting a little flavor in the last 3 days of people on an emotional roller coaster ride over bleeping Summer League with the way that they're reacting to this guy. Part of it's going to be fun to see how this plays on out. The other part of it is just going to make me sick, because people are going to sound really, really stupid. So we'll see what happens with Victor Wembanyama the rest of the way, and when you see him on a court next, but it won't be for the rest of Summer League. But the hype has already started. We knew that headed into the draft. We knew that during the draft. And then you get a little taste of Victor Wembanyama over the weekend. And next time he's on a basketball court, it's going to be the biggest story in the NBA, because right now, evaluating all the storylines, nothing's going to top Victor Wembanyama's regular season. And I hope he stays healthy. We'll see if he wins Rookie of the Year and what is the immediate impact he can make on a San Antonio Spurs team that for now isn't really going anywhere. But getting Victor Wembanyama may expedite getting the Spurs back to where they belong. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. We come on back. We recap the big UFC card from over the weekend. It was wonderful. I was all locked in on that Saturday night. Dean Thomas is going to join us, the former UFC fighter, when we return in 5 minutes. All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What a card that was over the weekend. UFC 290 out there in Las Vegas. Let's go out to the guest line right now and talk to someone that knows what it's like to not only talk about the UFC, but also be in the octagon. And that, of course, is Dean Thomas, kind enough to join us. Dean, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing? Listen, I'm more than great. Coming back after a card like that one over the weekend has got me all excited. I'm pumped up. It was fantastic. I don't know if we've had a card like that in a while with so many different storylines.
Yeah, I'm a casual fan, but I've become more and more of a fan really the last year or two. And it just seems like each and every card keeps on getting better and better, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, every card gets better. And when you look into the crowd and in the audience, it's just like celebrities, and it's like a big party. It's more than just a fight. It's an event now. And I think that the more and more this thing grows, goodbye football. I'm sorry.
Oh, you could pump the brakes with that. Nothing will ever take out football.
Okay. How about hockey? How about hockey?
Come on, I love hockey. Dean, what are you doing here?
Squash? Can we at least have squash?
I'll give you squash. You could take away squash. Let me get to Volkanovski. So after the fight, he says he needs surgery on his arm. That's incredible how dominant he was in the octagon, and now he needs surgery. He knew that going into the fight.
Listen, we're looking at a very special talent here. What we're looking at and what you guys are getting to witness is what we've seen back with GSP, you know, 5-10 years ago. Volkanovski is a special, special athlete. He's not just beating guys, but he's beating different type of guys in different type of ways, and his ability to adapt to situation is just absolutely miraculous. We're looking at a special talent, one-in-a-generation type talent, and we're lucky to have a guy like Volkanovski at our disposal.
And Daniel Cormier, after the fight, said he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC right now. I'm assuming you agree with that?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There is, without a doubt, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC currently and probably in the last while.
Let's get to Pantoja, because I love the emotion after the fight that he showed, telling us his story. And then today, I saw he did an interview with Ariel Helwani, and two fights ago, he was driving for Uber Eats. What's not to like with this guy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I spoke with him today with Matt Serra, and Pantoja was talking about how he worked so hard for this moment, and everybody was booing him. And Matt said that he had to turn it off because he was so emotional watching Pantoja just spill his emotion out and watching his kids cry, and just the whole scene was just so emotional. And I used to work with Pantoja a little bit. He's a good guy, a good human being, but the problem was he was going up against a guy that everybody loved. Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno was the guy that everyone loved, everyone wanted to see win, but to watch Pantoja take that from him, it was kind of hard. But I think at the end of it all, Pantoja won the crowd over.
He did, and there's one thing to win the fight. There's another thing to talk your way on the microphone, and when he was getting booed, I go, oh, this absolutely stinks. But then when he starts to say that his mom raised him and then dad, are you proud of me now? I thought a lot of people understood the human side of that, which started to turn some of those boos into a round of applause.
Well, if you notice, the first thing that he said was, if you knew my story, you wouldn't boo me. And from that moment on, that kind of grabbed everybody's attention. It was almost like a well-thought-out plan that he was – but you could tell he didn't think that out because English is his second language. So he's like, if you knew my story, you wouldn't boo me. And then when he gets into that human element, that element of I should be a failure, but look at me. And my father abandoned me, but are you proud of me now? I mean, the whole place had to stop and pay attention to that.
Dean Thomas here with us. So Duplessis gets another victory. Then Israel Adesanya takes over the octagon, and you had that exchange. What did you make of what Israel Adesanya did after the Duplessis win?
I couldn't have laughed harder. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm fortunate enough to sit cage side, and I was sitting side with David Goggins, and he was in a ball of laughter. Like, we couldn't just stop laughing because – for whatever reason, it's just funny to us. It's just really funny to us what he was doing. I know it's very insensitive and almost kind of cringy, I would say, but it was just kind of funny to us. But I will say this, Dricus handled that like a professional. Dricus is an absolute professional. He shut a lot of people up, myself included. I have to swallow my words, but Dricus handled that like a professional. He did exactly what he should have did. But Izzy, he just doesn't care. And you got to respect that about him. Whether you like him or not, you got to respect that he doesn't care.
The thing that I was laughing about was he couldn't even deliver his punchline. He went from 36 of me to 26 of me when he went 23 of me. That was the funny part to me, Dean.
Well, that was kind of funny, too, because I thought when he first said that, I thought maybe there was a different one. But it's not. So apparently he probably had that all planned out. So like, that's the thing. He probably had that planned out and messed up. So yeah, that was definitely kind of funny.
You said that Duplessis has won you over. Would you pick him whenever that fight does happen against Adesanya? You still rock and roll with Adesanya?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll tell you this, Zach, you know, I pride myself in being one of the best in the world at what I do, but I am terrible at picking fights. I can tell you what happens afterwards, but in terms of, you know, watching these guys on film and then seeing what's going to happen when they fight each other, I'm terrible at that. I think this weekend, I mean, I think a lot of people busted this weekend, but I went like 1-11 this weekend. I can't pick them right. So I don't know how to pick that fight as of right now. I'm still thinking that Izzy should win, But the way Dricus looked, he's so durable and he's so hard to hurt that it just seems like he might be able to just run through everybody.
D. Thomas, you know this. No one could ever really decide how their career is going to end, but to get that moment for Robbie Lawler, that was something really special.
Oh, man, you couldn't have scripted that any better. I've known Robbie his entire career. In fact, I remember watching Robbie do his thing way back in the day, and just we've trained together. We've been on the same team together. He actually did an episode of the Dean Diaries, and he never does media, so he allowed me to come into his house and film it and talk to him. So I'm always in Robbie's good graces. But to see him go out the way he did in a fight in which he was the underdog, but I said, you know, this is a winnable fight for Robbie. This is not a bad matchup for Robbie. And Robbie went out there, didn't take any damage, didn't take any punishment, got it over with, and the UFC gave him a proper send-off, a send-off that he deserved, and he should be happy. He is happy. I know that. I spoke to him afterwards. But it's just great to see Robbie get the recognition that he deserves, especially for a guy who didn't have to talk trash in order to get fans.
You watching Bo Nickel, what should UFC fans know about him and his future in the sport?
You know, the thing is, he's a four-time, you know, national champ or All-American or whatever he is in wrestling. But what he understands more than anything else is combat. And he understands how the body works, and he understands. And I remember speaking to Johnny Eblen about him a while ago. And he was just saying, man, his wrestling is like doing jiu-jitsu with a guy because he's so different and he's so unique. And that's really what it is with him. He's got the work ethic of wrestling, but he understands fighting and combat in a different way than most people do. So he's long, he's got a good body for fighting, he's long, he's got a good reach, and he's not going to make dumb mistakes that a lot of fighters do because he understands fighting. He really does have a bright future ahead of him. I'm sold on him completely. I wasn't completely sold on him until this weekend and how he handled that situation. And just his vision and awareness when he was throwing those punches, that showed me a lot.
Wrap it up with Dean Thomas. Do you think we'll ever see McGregor against Chandler?
I sure do hope so. I hope so because if not, then this whole Tough 31 was all just a big infomercial for Conor McGregor's brands. And that's unfair to Chandler. It's unfair to the viewers. It's unfair to everybody. So I hope Michael Chandler gets the opportunity to fight Conor. Conor, on the show, when he's with the guys, he seems very enthusiastic about coming back. So we are all praying and got our fingers crossed that Conor comes back and fights Michael Chandler.
I just have no expectations for Conor moving forward. He's lost three out of his last four fights, and we haven't seen him in the octagon fighting since July of 2021. I said this to Dana White last time I saw Dana at the Super Bowl. I don't even think that fight would be close.
You know, it's weird because when you hear Conor talk, if you watch the show and you hear him talk, he's brilliant. He's got a brilliant mind for fighting. He understands it. He's great at it. It's just execution. Is he willing to execute and go through the training camp and be a fighter? And that's something that I question because when you're as rich as he is, he doesn't have to do it. So I question whether he's going to be willing to put himself through a training camp to fight a guy like Michael Chandler.
And then we found out over the weekend that we're going to get Stipe and John Jones at November at the world's most famous arena, MSG. That's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. We get to see John Jones come back and see Stipe's probably last fight. I think it's kind of a mismatch, but on paper it sounds great. But, you know, at least we're getting the big fights. I mean, that's the thing, is that the UFC will always deliver the big fights, or at least they'll do what they have to do to try to make the big fights happen. And this year was indicative of that. So whenever there's a law of action, you know the UFC's got something up their sleeve with a big fight.
Well, Dean, always appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
There you go. Dean Thomas joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm telling you, the UFC, it's very addictive. I remember when I was first watching, I was like, why the heck would anyone ever watch this? And then I slowly started to watch it more and more and more. And, you know, I've told this to Dana White throughout the years. I never thought I would end up becoming a UFC fan. But this has now been a bunch of pay-per-views. And I think the pandemic did this sport wonders, where we knew where it was before that. And I've watched UFC before the pandemic. But Dana White was the first guy to be like, hey, we're trying to go through this and we're going to find a way to entertain people and give people something to watch, forming that fight island. And I think that did make a lot of fans who were maybe on the fence or who never really watched it that much religiously before really get hooked to it because they were appreciative of what the UFC did a few years ago. At least that's the way that I felt about it. And I had a chance to go to the Adesanya Pereira fight, which was the second one. It was one at MSG back in November. And going to Madison Square Garden for a UFC fight, that was awesome. And when they come on back in November, assuming I'm free that weekend, I would definitely go. But Saturday night, I didn't have any big plans because I made my plans around UFC 290, and it was a really, really good card. And I got to give credit to Peter Hoffman, who works around here, because I saw Pete at the Yankee game on Saturday, and he told me about some of the guys that he liked in the card. So I made one bet. I put $100 down on Pantoja and Volkanovski in a parlay, and Pete ended up winning me some money. So good job by Peter Hoffman, who used to actually do UFC shows on this network those late Saturday nights after the pay-per-view. They used to put him and Ike Feldman, who used to produce After Hours for Amy Lawrence and run Amy's board. They would team the two of them up together because they used to do a UFC podcast. So got to give a little tip of the cap to Pete Hoffman for winning me some Benjamins over the weekend. And I'm sure I just opened myself up for Act to steal my wallet probably during one of these breaks, because it wasn't that long ago I left my wallet out and then Act just five-finger discounted my entire wallet.
Got to teach you a lesson.
Well, you know what? I'm actually onto something here. 2 weeks ago, you were out, and welcome back, by the way. I know we welcomed you back since. But I woke up, and $1,200 was spent on my credit card on an iPhone. Did you get a new iPhone recently?
No.
Okay. I was just.
You told me about this. You mentioned this.
Oh, did I mention that to you? I was just making sure. I wanted to make sure that Ack wasn't stealing my credit card somewhere.
No, you were
the thief.
Nope, not at all.
Next thing you know, the police could be knocking on Ack's door in the middle of the night.
I'd like to know, though, you, Mr. Met fan, wearing a Met hat today.
Yes.
And the black one, which I don't like because it's not in the original color scheme. But what are you doing at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, one of my buddies is a big Yankee fan. He wanted to go to the game. He knows I have the hookup for the tickets, so I took him to the game. And also, I was hosting Sunday locally in New York, so to prepare and be a great talk show host, Ack, and actually watch the games, which a lot of these bozos in our business now don't do, I said instead of watching that boring-ass network broadcast, I would go out to the stadium.
Okay.
Got myself a hot dog.
There you go, Lobel's steak.
No. There's a good chopped cheese stand in center field that I tried last time I was there as well. But I had a hot dog, had a beer, a few French fries, watched the game, and then got back on the subway back. And then you know where I went yesterday? You would have liked this.
Peter Luger's?
I went close, but no. I went to Brooklyn, and I went to the Big Three that's run by Ice Cube.
Wow.
And I had courtside seats for that. That was fun. Saw Jason Richardson play, Joe Johnson play. And you know who was coaching? The doctor. Dr. Julius Irving. So I was right behind where the doc was coaching. And it was pretty neat to see.
Take a walk over to Junior's afterwards?
I did not, but I knew you were going to say that. I thought about that on my way home. I had dinner plans for later that night, but I said, I know Ack, if I tell him I attended the Big Three at the Barclays Center, he's going to ask me if I got a slice of that cheesecake over at Junior's because, and they have good burgers there too.
Great food.
I have dined there before.
Yes.
And I remember the story you told me not that long ago. Was it for Mother's Day or was it your mother's birthday?
We went for my mom's birthday 1 year.
No. Recently, you told me the story how you ordered a cheesecake.
Yeah, that was Mother's Day.
And the UPS driver screwed over your Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Or your mother's Mother's Day.
Delivered an empty box.
Yeah, ate the entire thing. I'm just saying, Ack. My credit card has an issue. Your mother can't get the cheesecake. Maybe you took my credit card and also took your mother's slice of cheesecake.
No, because I was going to partake in the cheesecake, so I was equally disappointed when it did not arrive.
Ack stuffed his face and then said, Ma, there's nothing in the box. Oh, terrible. I got to go call the UPS and figure out why the heck they didn't deliver your cheesecake.
Yeah, no.
It's a long walk probably from the Ack estate to the mailbox. You probably went right to that mailbox, ate the cheesecake, and go, Ma, there's nothing in the box.
I wasn't even home when it arrived.
Oh, you weren't?
No,
okay.
I was here.
All righty. Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll let you slide on that one, and we'll believe Ack seems like a very noble person. I don't think he would lie on the radio. All righty, we'll take a timeout. This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. All-Star Game tomorrow. And I kind of wish that we would make an exemption and just throw someone in the All-Star game that I would love to see, even though he's only played 30 games this season. I'll tell you who that is on the other side. Update time first. Here he is, a man that's not a thief, even though we're investigating that. Maybe we'll have an update tomorrow. All righty, J.P. Crawford from the Mariners is going to join us coming up at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. Deebo Samuel from the San Francisco 49ers at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific on a very busy Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. I want to try a little exercise here. I'm going to go to Kevin Wall, who I know is a big baseball fan, because I saw something this morning. I forget who was tweeting about it or who was writing about it, but I woke up earlier this morning, and I try not to go to my phone right away. But even when you try your hardest, it's just some days that you wake up, and it's like putting your foot on the floor. Like, even before you do that, you just grab your phone because it's we're all connected to cell phones and we're attached to cell phones. And that's when I lay in my bed for probably an hour longer than I should. But I was perusing the cesspool that is Twitter, you know, checking Instagram, going on Facebook. I have not joined Threads yet. I am not on Threads yet. We'll see if that eventually changes. I got to see if that really does take off. I know where the subscribers are through the roof and all that, but I want to see if people actually start to actively use it before I set myself up to just get abused on another social media platform. But when I'm scrolling through Twitter, I saw someone was advocating that Elly De La Cruz, who's only played 30 games in the big leagues, should be in the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday night tomorrow in Seattle. So I'll give you my reaction, what my first thought was in just a second. But Kevin Wall, you being a big baseball fan, you being a very serious human being and a very serious sports fan, no funny business, and you don't like to have any fun. You're all strictly business when it comes to your sports teams.
That's right, baby.
When you hear that Elly De La Cruz, there was someone advocating for Elly De La Cruz, only played in 30 big league games to be an all-star, your thoughts are?
No, not yet. I mean, the average is there. Obviously, the plays have been there. We saw what happened the other day, 3 stolen bases. But it's not there yet. It's kind of like Gary Sanchez, you know, in 2016, his rookie year. People were saying he should be rookie of the year when he came in August. It's like, no, you can't have it. It's only 30-something games. So,
by the way, how much AC do you have pumping on that other side of the glass?
Oh, I like it cool. I like it cold.
I could barely hear you. You sound as if you're a NASCAR driver in the pit with the car zooming past you.
It's 85 degrees outside, bro.
I get it. I have the AC down to 67 here in this studio. And I always get on Hickey because Hickey keeps it like 74 there because he's crazy. But that AC is pumping there. I heard more of the AC than you. That's
well,
crazy.
It's 67 in here also, so I don't know. We may have to get some custodians in here to or whoever checks the AC. I don't know. But I'm thinking just because, yeah, he's batting 325. Yeah, you see him potentially being one of the good players in this prime in the next 5 years. But 30-something games, it's not there yet.
All righty. I have to tell you to turn off your microphone. I don't know if I'm going to go to you for the rest of the show because my brain is going in 9,000 different directions when it sounds like Kevin Wall is just in the ocean and sitting right next to the beach with all the background noise. I had a similar reaction to you. I go, oh, that's just someone looking for some clicks. That's someone looking for some downloads, looking for a little attention. Look at me. Elly De La Cruz should be an all-star. And as the day did go on, I said, not only am I going to agree with it, but I'm going to do a sports minute about it tomorrow on the day of the All-Star game. And I'll give you a little preview of that right now, exclusively right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We are programmed as sports fans to view things from a traditional way. We grew up, our fathers would tell us, our mothers would tell us, oh, the All-Star game is so important, blah, 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 blah. The All-Star game means nothing. Every team has at least one representative in the All-Star game. And the All-Star game isn't taken as seriously as it once was. What the Major League Baseball has turned the All-Star game into, and I don't have a problem with it, it's to market their stars. And when you look at Elly De La Cruz right now, even though it's only a minuscule sample size, he's one of the more entertaining players in the sport. He already has 16 stolen bases. You know, he's batting 325 in 30 games. But what he did the other day up against the Brewers, where he gets on first base, then he steals second, and then the next pitch, he steals third and home. That was absolutely ridiculous, out of this world. And you're not wrong, K-Wall, when you say, oh, it's embarrassing. No, 30 games. That's not an all-star. From a traditional standpoint, everything you said, absolutely right. But this is not the all-star game from 15 years ago. This is not the all-star game from the 1980s and the 1990s. In the year of 2023, it's not about putting the best players in the game, right? They've bent the rules throughout the years. Now everyone gets an all-star, all that stuff. It's about marketing the sport. And there's few opportunities where Major League Baseball gets to not only market their sport, but also get people to care and have it in an isolated window. And you look at the regular season, a lot of it's regionalized. We don't do a lot of Major League Baseball here unless someone does a bat flip and you have some old guy freak out and go crazy, or if you have a big fight, or if the Astros are cheating, things like that. Usually the drama is when we talk about it in Major League Baseball's regular season. But the two times that we've talked about, or the two topics that we talked about Major League Baseball in the regular season so far on this show, has been centered around two people. That's whenever Shohei Ohtani does something that we've never seen before, because we've never seen anyone like Shohei Ohtani. And then it's Ellie De La Cruz the last few weeks, with the Reds now being sort of back and Ellie De La Cruz putting, I don't want to say the Reds on the map, but making people care about the Reds again. And that's why.
And you got to remember, it was an empty stadium. They couldn't get anyone in the stadium in April and May.
I love you, but I can't talk to you today. I really can't. I'm not kidding. I'm not being dramatic. Maybe the listeners can't hear it. But every time Kevin Wall turns on his microphone, you got to change the which way the vent is pointed, or you got to lower that AC, because every time you talk, this is all I hear. As you try to make a point. That's all I can hear in my headphones. Now, you lowered the AC a little bit. Let's try it out now.
What I was saying, though, is that better?
Not really. A little bit. It's a little less obvious, but I don't know what the heck you've done back there.
Dude, I always put in the same temperature. And
whoever
this
constructed
is the first,
our studios
this
are
is
idiots.
The first time where someone is complaining about how high or how loud the AC is.
Well, you left and then you came back. You know, I don't know if they changed something with the way that you used to do it. Probably not, because they never touched this studio in 1,000 years. But getting back to Ellie De La Cruz, it's about marketing the sport. And that's why I would not have a problem if Rob Manfred, who I can't stand, and he is a terrible commissioner, if it wasn't for Adam Silver and also the pitch clock, Rob Manfred would be, and he's been for years, but I've recently changed on that, he would be the worst commissioner in sports. I would have no problem if he came out tomorrow morning and said, you know what, we made an exemption, we made a change, we flew out Ellie De La Cruz from Cincinnati to Seattle, and he's going to play in the All-Star game, because I want to see him. And that's the only reason why I tune in to the All-Star game. Like, I'll watch the Home Run Derby tonight because I like the Home Run Derby, and it's so much better than what the NBA puts out there in the dunk contest. I know Mac McClung performed well this year, but no one knew who Mac McClung was before that. You had Jericho Sims as well. You're getting a bunch of no-names. You're not getting the stars. At least when you pop on the Home Run Derby tonight, you'll see Julio Rodriguez in Seattle. You'll see Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Mookie Betts. You'll get Pete Alonso. I appreciate Major League Baseball stars that want to operate and want to navigate year in and year out the Home Run Derby. And people ask, why does the NBA Slam Dunk Contest usually stink? It's because they don't get the stars in there. And that's a big-time problem. But when you get to the All-Star game tomorrow night, I don't really have an incentive to tune in. I don't. But I will tell you, I think it's important when they're miking up players, you're showcasing players' personalities. You know, Shohei Ohtani won't pitch tomorrow because of what happened to his finger. And we see now the Ohtani story, even though it keeps on getting better and better, we've seen it just continue to be awesome. But for Ellie De La Cruz, he's one of the hottest items in the sport right now. And it's a shame, even though it's only 30 games and you're like, oh, from a traditional standpoint, he shouldn't be in there. It kind of stinks with all the guys that they allow into the All-Star game, the LA De La Cruz, even though in a very small sample size with how quickly he's overtaken the sport, is not going to be in Seattle playing in the All-Star game in some capacity tomorrow night. All righty. We have breaking news right now. I just want to make sure that this is verified, but I did see it pop across the television set that is right in front of me. Yes, from Pete Thamel. Northwestern has fired their coach in Pat Fitzgerald. We're going to talk about this on the other side. We're up against the break, and there's a lot to delve into in the Pat Fitzgerald conversation. But originally, because of hazing, which they said he did not know about, that he was suspended for 2 weeks in the summer, which for a college football coach, that's like, all right, you're on vacation. I know you have the season that's about to start up with people coming back after the spring games and things like that, and you have the media days, but you're just not going to get paid. So that was originally what happened, and then more information did come out. There was conflicting reports about what actually did happen, and from the announcement of the two-week suspension, and then what I saw yesterday was one player, former player, anonymously say what actually did occur. You were wondering what was going to happen with Pat Fitzgerald. Northwestern, who from the start, it seems like they tried to sweep this entire thing under the rug and protect Pat Fitzgerald. According to Pete Thamel, they have now fired their head football coach in Pat Fitzgerald. So a whole lot to do. We will talk about this on the other side. Also, you have Bob Huggins, who we all thought resigned after his homophobic slurs and then the DUI. He's saying, not so fast, I didn't resign, and he's trying to get his job back. So there's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of disgrace to talk about in college sports. We will unpack the Pat Fitzgerald situation. Now he's out as the head football coach of Northwestern when the Zach Gelb Show does continue in 5 minutes.
For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. All you need is a computer and printer. Imagine mailing and shipping right from your desk, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, Stamps.com gives you discounts up to 84%. Sign up for Stamps.com today. Use code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.